You have won the victory. Lift up your voice and say now. You have won it all for me.
Service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. We pray that you came in primed, ready for the power of God to move in this place, because we serve the one and only awesome God. We want to remind you that we are a Pentecostal church. We believe that our God heals. We believe that our God restores. We believe that our God saves. And we thank you, Lord, for the work that you're going to do in this house today. We thank you for your miracle working power. We thank you that you are the God of Abraham, that you are the same God that met with Moses in the crook of the rock. We thank you that you are the same God that raised Lazarus from the dead. Lord, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise, because you are the one and only living God, the God that loves unconditionally, the God that rescues, the God that saves us from all things. We honor you and minister to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Bring your praise to the Lord.
If you're ready to give God your best praise this morning, let me hear a shout. You saved us in such a miraculous way, in such a glorious way, God. And we just thank you for that, God. We accept your salvation this morning. You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord. I love you. You've been so good, you've been so good. I thank you, Lord, I thank you. My heart is full, my heart is full. I love you, Lord, I love you. You've been so good, you've been so good. I thank you, Lord, I thank you. And my heart is full, my heart is full. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, my soul cries, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Can I hear a hallelujah to Jesus? He's worthy of all of our praise this morning, amen.
Turned into wine. You opened the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Into the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. There's no one like you. There's none like you. And into the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Cause our God is greater. Our God is strong. Higher than any other. Our God is healer.
Shout of praise. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, if our God is greater, give God a shout of praise. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, praise his name. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Who knows that the blood can work? That the blood is working. And that the blood will always work. Hallelujah. So if you know that, just sing this with me. And Jesus, I love you so. Your blood still it flows from your throne. Come on and sing it out. Jesus, some still don't know. The blood that you shed, still it flows. Sing it again. Jesus, I love you so. Your blood still it flows from your throne. Somebody say.
Jesus, some still don't know.
The blood that you shed, still it flows. Your blood will never lose its power, power.
Your blood will never lose its power.
Come on and sing
power.
That again. Sing your blood.
Your blood
will never lose its
power,
power. Still don't know the blood that you shed, still it flows. Jesus, I love you so. Your blood still it flows from your throne. Jesus, some still don't know
the blood that you shed, still it flows.
Come on and sing your blood.
Your blood.
Sing your blood.
Yeah.
Come on and sing this out. Hey, sing your blood.
Your blood will never lose its power.
Sing your blood will never lose.
Your blood will never lose its
power. Come on. Sing your blood. Sing this out. If you truly believe it, your blood will never lose. Your blood can never lose. Your blood can never lose. See, it raised me and it saved me and it healed my body. Yes, it raised my life. See, he died for me. Precious blood will never lose. Your blood will never lose. If you truly believe this, if you are hurting right now, if you are sick right now, lay your hand on the spot that you're having problems with and repeat after me. Say, your blood will never lose. Come on, let me hear it. Say, your blood will never lose. Come on, if you have faith, it's already done. The next time you go to the doctor, there will be no more cancer. There will be no more kidney problems. Your heart will be restored. Your mind will be restored. Ha. Because the blood. Again, I can sing again.
Your precious blood,
it will never lose. Come on, give God a shout. Give God a shout. Come on, give God a shout. His blood will never lose, right? Hallelujah.
Glory and all the honor and all the praise.
Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me up with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, now he set my feet on solid ground. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. You saved me, you raised me, you healed me, he filled me, he saved me, he raised me, he filled me, he healed me, he saved me, he raised me, he filled me, he healed me, he saved me,
he saved me,
he raised me,
oh, he raised me,
he healed me,
he healed me,
he healed me.
It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus.
Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.
Hallelujah. The last I knew, God's alive. How about you? I don't know. I guess if your God's dead, it's a good reason to be quiet. But if your God's alive, can I hear a shout this morning? Come on, let the devil know my Jesus is alive. Isn't it good to shout unto God with a voice of triumph? You know, today there's nothing better than knowing that Jesus isn't dead, still in the grave, but he rose again on the third day. All the other religions of the world, their God is still in a tomb. But our Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Can I hear an amen? And because of that, I got a reason to shout. I was in darkness, but God brought me out. And I'm here to testify and tell you about my wonderful reason to shout. So what I want you to do is in the next few minutes, just go find somebody you don't know, shake their hand and say, I got a reason to shout. My God's alive. Amen? Go find somebody you don't know and shake their hand. Don't be a snob this morning. I want you to get to know some folk.
Hey, parents, are you over-coddling your child? Are you having issues within your family in raising your children? Listen, we got the class just for you in Step 2. Starting June 12th, we're having a family and parenting class at 7 p.m. for the next 8 weeks. Make sure you come out and learn how to be a godly parent and raise up a godly family. We'll see you June 12th, 7 p.m.
It's almost time for our annual Father's Day event with the Pioneers at Dunn Field. This is a great opportunity to grab your family, hang out with your church family, and spend the afternoon together. The game starts at 5 p.m. and tickets are available at the Hub.
Featuring this week, Chemung County Group with Pastor Chad and Jade Spencer.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How you doing this morning? I need you to put your hands together for the King of Kings and for the Lord of Lords. Put your hands together for the one that died for you but didn't stay on the cross. He came down. The one that said, these things I've done, greater shall you do. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. We are a Pentecostal church. We believe that our King is alive. Come on. That is weak. He's done too much for you. There's too much breath in your lungs, too much pep in your step. There is too much He's done for you to be quiet. So before I move on, just one more time, give your King a shout on the count of three. Oh, okay, okay, that's okay. I love it, I love it. Welcome to our 11 a.m. service. We're so excited you can join us on this wonderful Sunday morning. If this is your first time here, let me just see you just awkwardly slip up your hand like this. If this is your first time here, yeah, I love this entire section over here. I love this entire section over here. Please keep your hands lifted up. We have a gift for you guys. Thank you so much for coming to worship with us. Inside that bag, you find a mug and some other things from us. But most importantly, on this side of the building right after service, we have a guest reception for you. Free coffee, free donuts, those little powdered ones that you really like. On this side, you get to meet some of the pastors on staff. We want to just get to know you guys a little bit. And I love this fellowship. It's okay. Keep talking. It's good. You guys love each other. That's all right. But seriously, though, after service, on this side of the building, please come out to our guest reception. You get to meet some of the pastors, some of the people on staff, and want to just say thank you so much for coming to worship with us. So please put your hands together one more time for our guests. And keep on clapping for our live stream. You guys are family. We love you guys so much. And let's come on, keep clapping for the His Tabernacle Ithaca campus. They are a part of us. Amen. So as you guys know, we have a bulletin. If you did not get one, they're in the back. We have so much going on in our church. Almost every single day of the week, something is happening within these doors. And that's the power of God moving to touch not just you and your family, but also our community. So you want to go ahead and get involved. There are two things I want to highlight to you. Number one is called a program we have called Next Steps. Shout, Next Steps. Next Steps. I love being saved. I love being filled with the Holy Ghost. But there are some next steps in your walk with the Lord. So I want you guys to get involved in that class. The next class we have is called Parenting. Come on now. Who needs help? Parenting. Thank you, Lord. I'll be the first one there. But it's going to be a phenomenal class, and these are principles from the Word of God. Amen? So if you want to get involved in that class, go to the Hub and ask them, when does this start? Please, I want to come to this class. It's going to be Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Also, we have groups. Shout, groups. We don't want you to live life alone, okay? There is nothing worse than you going through life and living life alone. So I want to encourage you to join a group today. Can I have all the group leaders just wave your hands like this? Put your hands in the air. Wave them like you just don't care, Marianne. Wave it, girl. I want you to go to somebody that's waving their hand and say, can I please join your group? We want to live life with you. Amen? At this time, let's have Pastor Rhonda receive the album. I'm going to stall a little bit longer because she's putting something to soften up her throat. Okay, that was long enough.
I truly sang until I cannot sing any longer today. We started out with some awesome prayer in this house with the staff and pastors at 7:15 a.m. So we've been shouting for quite a while. So Hopefully my throat will hold up through this portion, because I just can't keep silent. When they sing those songs, it just gets me so excited about my awesome God. But as we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, you may say, God doesn't really care about my finances at all. Why does God care about my finances? Let me read to you the word of the Lord. And it says in Psalms 35:27 that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. So it actually brings God joy when his children walk in prosperity. Your finances are a big deal to God. He wants you walking in prosperity. Now it also says in Matthew, the parable of the talents, that the kingdom of God is like this. A man went and he went away and gave to his people, his servants, talents. And they were able to multiply those talents because he gives us the power to gain wealth. And when those servants came back to him, he was able to say, well done to those that had produced more. But to the one who did not produce anything more, he said, get away from me, you wicked servant. So you see, our finances are a big deal to God. He wants us to prosper in those. That's why he tells us to tithe in Malachi 3. It says to bring all the tithe into my storehouse. The tithe simply means 10% of your income. He says that because then he says why? Because he will open up the windows of heaven. You will walk in blessing and prosperity in every season, whether there's economic famine in the land. God's children that are faithful and obedient to the tithe will walk in his prosperity. So that's why he wants you to give. And the exciting part is, God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't favor one person over the other. It's available to every single one of us. In Hebrews, it says they all heard the same word. They all heard the same gospel. But it was the ones that combined it with faith that prospered in it. Those that actually did it prospered in it. So that's the difference. God's no respecter. He has it for every single one in this place. You see, I come from absolutely nothing. I'm not from the right family, the right side of the tracks. I had nothing, and I am nothing without Jesus. But with Jesus, I have been blessed every day of my life. I grew up in church. I grew up tithing, and I've seen the favor of the Lord in my life beyond what I could ask, think, or even imagine. God is no respecter of persons. He has great prosperity for every single one that will hear his gospel and combine it with the faith of doing it. Amen. Are you ready to participate with Kingdom Finances today?
I'm going to do this part for her. Are you ready? Let's all stand. For those who participated yesterday, we just want to thank the Lord for his line crossers and all the groups that are with. Amen. I want to make sure I get everybody. We have the His Line Crossers from Canton here with us. The Kingdom Knights from Maryland with us. And the Anointed Horsemen from Maryland with us. And Mikey's family is here today. We just want to say thank you so much for being with us. And we want to bless you. Yesterday, I believe the motorcycle ride brought in $3,300. And a bunch of people gave this morning towards that. And we want to make that available for you now as well. Some of you weren't able to be here yesterday. If you'd like to give, we're going to put a golden bowl right here in the middle. And if you want to sow into Mikey, you can do that right here. And for the regular tithes and offerings, it will be over on the side. But if you want to give towards Mikey, that would be right here in the center. And we just want to say thank you so much for being such a generous people. You know, there's one thing about a church talking about it and another thing about church doing it. Amen. We don't talk it, we do it. Turn to someone and say, stop talking and do it. Amen. That's who we are. We're the sons and daughters of God. So we just want to thank you for sowing. We want to thank you for tithing. We want to thank you for being able to allowing God's kingdom to come, his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are you ready to shout? So here we go. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tricked me up because I'm a child of God. I said, I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering. If you're online right now, you can give as well. We encourage you to make sure you hit the give button. You can also, if you want to give towards Mikey, you can simply write in the memo towards Mikey. We'll make sure every penny gets to where it belongs. We love you. Thank you for being part of our family.
Oh, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. This is one of my, just one of the parts I love the most, and that is I love baby dedications. Amen? I got these. If I could have Cruz family come, Cruz family and friend, and Lyndon, I think you're already here. That's good. There's two. Let me see. Calvin, if you can come with your family, you need to bring your parents, Calvin. Amen. Elena and Harley, you know that's a God thing. Harley, glory to Jesus. And Layla, where's Layla? Layla, bring your family. Look at all these babies. Hey, how are you? I love the babies. How many of you love babies? New life. I love the fact that new life is in the house. How's everybody doing? How are the babies? They good? Any children keep you up all night? My babies are all grown up and gone. Yes. It's great to be free. But we love babies. Amen. You know, the scripture talks about baby dedication. And, you know, many people get this very confused. And so I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. This has nothing to do with the babies. Babies don't know what's happening. They're not aware what's going on. They can't change their life. This is really, baby dedication is for the parents, grandparents, for the most influential people in their lives, because baby dedication has to do with charging the people who are going to influence them in the greatest manner to walk with God. The Bible says, raise up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they will not depart. You see, the best part is implanting and imparting the principles of God's kingdom in. You know what's so cool about babies? Babies understand God better than adults. They don't have all that doubt stuff. You know, they're not all messed up with religion and foolishness. They just simply, when they feel the presence of God, and if you don't think kids feel the presence of God, it's pretty amazing. You know, kids are very sensitive to the spirit world. And as believers, our goal is to make sure they know Jesus very, very, very well. Amen? Now, where we see dedication is with Hannah. Hannah was a woman who could not have children. And if you knew anything about that, in the Old Testament, when a woman couldn't produce a child, she was really kind of cast aside. Now, listen, it wasn't just that. If she couldn't produce a man child, it was actually just as bad. And so here she is. She's calling out to the Lord. And the Lord said, it was a year after year, however, Hannah went up to the Lord's house, and she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said, Hannah, why do you cry? Why do you not eat? Why are you grieving? Am I not more than having 10 sons? Her husband loved her very much. Oh, I agree. As the next preacher, hallelujah. So Hannah rose after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh. And now Eli, the priest, was sitting on his seat beside the post of the temple of the Lord. And Hannah was in distress of soul, praying to the Lord, and wept bitterly. And she vowed, saying, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember and not forget your handmaid, but will give me a son, I will give him to the Lord all his life. No razor shall touch his head. And as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli noticed her voice. And the Bible said in about a year, she had a child. Baby dedication is so powerful because what you're doing is you're giving your child back to God. There's nothing more powerful than realizing that God knew your baby before you ever thought about it. Planned your son, planned your daughter, and said, I have a purpose for them on this planet at this exact moment of time. That's the power of God. He just loves our family so much. He's a family man, you know. And he loves the children. And so Hannah, she dedicated her baby to the Lord and said, God, this Samuel is not mine, but yours. And you know, the will of God came to fruition in his life. There's nothing more satisfying as a parent, and I can tell you, my kids now are 27. My goodness, my wife's getting old. 27 years old, 27, 26, and 22. Thank you. She's over there. She just told me how old she was. There's nothing more exciting, moms and dads, than watching your kids grow up and stay in love with Jesus. You know, my kid, one of them, went to Africa for schooling, South Africa. And you know, there was something that was in us, was this, is that when he went overseas, I was okay. And so was Rhonda. Why? Because we knew he was right with God. We knew there was no problems. We knew he loved Jesus. We knew his life was in order. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, this is your commission, that you teach these children how to pray. See, they're only going to pray how you pray. You don't pray, the babies won't pray. You don't read the word, the babies won't read the word. You don't do devotions, they're not going to do devotions. You don't come to church, they're not going to come to church. Do you realize that 80% of children that graduate high school never, ever, ever give their hearts to Christ? That's 8 out of 10. So right now, you are ahead of the game. You're raising the next generation of men and women of God who are going to run this house. I can't wait. They're going to be the praise worshipers up here. They're going to be crew Bobby, probably the next preacher. Tell his daddy to get here early. You know, we got all these men and women of God right here. And I'm just excited. And I want to pray over your families. I want to pray over your children. We want to dedicate your children to the Lord. And what I want you to do as moms and dads is I want you to repeat after me. If you'll just repeat after me, moms and dads. Today, Jesus, I'm making a decision to dedicate my child to you. I give this child back to you. I declare they're yours. Use their life however you desire. And help me to raise this child in the love and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. I vow to live my life right, to show them how to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can you give me a hand clap? I have all these certificates. I'm going to sneak behind you. There's a lot of them. The Huntley family. There you go. Hi, baby, that's yours. The Parmenter family. Everybody. Where's the Larsons? Larson family? Where are the Larsons? The Phillips? Phillips. Yay! Hi, how are you? You having a great day? The Hillmans. Thank you very much. And we just want to say thank you for allowing us to invest into your family. There's no greater privilege as your pastor to be able to invest in your family so they know God. And we just want to, any way we can help you, we're here for you. And you know that. Amen? We've proven it? Amen. We love you. Have a great time. Give them a hand clap. Come on now, these babies. We're praying at least everybody in the room have at least two more in Jesus' name. I love you, man. No matter how old you are, may the Lord bless your womb. Except my wife. Did you hear what I was saying? That my wife said, not me. Praise the Lord. I'm just so excited. Thank you so much for being here today. You know, we just love the Lord. You know, we're not a perfect church. Turn to someone and say, there isn't one. Listen, if you're looking for a perfect church, you can't go. And if you get perfect, please don't come here, because then I have to leave. Nobody's perfect, but one thing that you'll know for sure is that in this house, we love Jesus. God's not dead. He's alive. Amen? We want to encourage you all at 7:15 a.m. on Sunday mornings. We've been meeting here to pray with the church staff, and I want to open that up to everybody. If you would like to come and pray with us at 7:15 a.m. on Sunday mornings, you're more than welcome. Amen? I'm a little loud, I think. When I can hear myself rattle, that's not good. Can you give the sound and media team a hand clap this morning? You see all of this right here? You see the letters going across? You know that just doesn't happen, right? Shazam! Doesn't just happen. There's somebody back there working the words. There's camera people all over the place. And we have people back there doing the switchers and the sound people and those that are watching on live stream. You just don't realize how many people it takes so that you can get live stream right where you are all over the world. All of this happens. And I just want to say, if we can give all of our sound and media team one more hand clap and say thank you. If you are interested in working sound or media, you're more than welcome to go back and let them know. We just love to develop you. We need some more editors. I'd love some more editors. This morning, great news. Brother Rick was telling me last week, this morning we're on the new Roku channel. I don't know if I said that right. I don't have that thing. Roku. We're reaching 2.1 million people this morning. 2.1 million. And the price is amazing. The word is free. They gave us opportunity to reach 2.1 million people for free, and we just want to thank God for that. And so God's blessed us to be able to reach out and share the gospel with more people, and there's no greater privilege. Amen? The greatest thing we have is the gospel of Christ. This is the year of... For those who are fresh, we have a theme every year. This year it's called Divine Connections. God connections that he places in our life that help us get where we need to go. You see, God has a plan for you. You're not here wandering just on accident, sucking air, making a few bucks and dying and going in the grave. But you're here for a reason. Turn to someone and say, you've got purpose. That's right, you've got purpose. Now listen, if they have halitosis, just slip them a mint real quick. It's important to know that you have purpose. So many people wander on this planet with no reason. They just kind of make stuff, and they kind of live somewhat, and then they kind of die, and then no one remembers them. But it's important that you recognize that we all have divine purpose. Not just do people have connection with us, but we're also the divine connection to others. This is what I want to talk about. We started last week about really understanding the divine connection that we are to other people. A lot of people don't realize that. We've stopped loving people in America. I just want to make a statement. I started sharing it last week. How many people have stopped loving people in America? You know, I believe, and we talked about it last week, it's a diabolical disconnect. You see, God has divine connections, but the enemy hates us and always works what's called the opposite. And he has a diabolical disconnection. What is that diabolical disconnection? But getting people to stop loving other people. You see, that's the most powerful thing. Everybody in this room, no matter who you are, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, no matter what state you live in, no matter what your background might be, no matter any of those issues, every single person's looking for the same two things. Every one of us are looking to be loved, genuinely loved, and every one of us want to be accepted. That's what everybody on this planet is hungering for. The great news is that God has a plan for that, and that Christ has placed us not in religion, but in a relationship with a living God who's not dead but alive. You see, that's who we serve, a living Jesus. What's happened is, and we talked about it last week, we're watching generations now actually becoming disconnected with loving people. What do we mean by that? The millennials, they did research, 75 to 80% of them said they would rather have a communication and a talk through an electronic device than face-to-face. They're not comfortable face-to-face anymore. It's amazing to realize that we have a whole generation that's raised up that isn't comfortable talking. They're not comfortable meeting people. They're not comfortable hanging out with people. They're not comfortable with getting to release the love that they have inside to other individuals. The Z generation is the next one. And the Z generation's been trained the same way. In fact, you usually know who they are. They always have earbuds in their ear. We actually have Z generation in our church. It's funny, they come to church with earbuds in their ear. You know, they're just so connected with the electronics that no longer is there a face-to-face connection. We've disconnected them from truly loving people. Because you cannot love somebody with a text message. You can't love somebody with an email. FaceTime is nice, but you can't really love somebody by FaceTime. Man, you need some FaceTime. You see, love is powerful, and it's the most powerful thing that we have on this planet. Somebody can deny God, someone can deny relationship with the Lord, but they cannot deny true love. When somebody truly loves somebody, that's something that they're gravitating towards because it's real. We all want to be loved. Now listen, we can look at the kids and we can blame them all we want. But the fact is 50 years ago, everybody knew each other's neighbors. In fact, we had neighborhood parties. You needed a cup of sugar, you called your neighbor and said, I'm coming over for some sugar. And they just say, no problem, come get some sugar. And you're not sitting there saying, that's $1.25. You know, it's all about you and I getting into the process. We've been disconnected with people. You know, it's happened actually in church as well. It's amazing. We've got to do something called starting groups. Turn to someone and say, you should join a group. We really shouldn't have to join a group. We should automatically start creating groups. But even in the church world, we've seen segregation start to happen. We come to church, we shake a few hands, we really don't know them. In fact, they come up and they're so excited to see you, you don't even remember their name. So you fake that you don't know their name. Hi, how are you? You make up a reason that, well, you know, hey, it's beautiful outside. You change the subject because they said your name, but you don't know theirs. We've become so disconnected with people these days that no longer is there a face-to-face release of love into other individuals. We have so segregated ourselves, protected ourselves, shielded ourselves because we are not loving folks. This is a diabolical disconnect because in the last days, as we know, we're living in the last days. A few weeks ago, I shared what the capitulation of the last days really is, and that is that the cornerstones of the temple that will be built within the last 3.5 years when the Antichrist comes were shipped to Israel in 1984 from the Midwest of America. The red heifer, which is a mandated sacrifice for the Jewish nation, it was actually found 25 years ago, a pure thread, and they've been reproducing them in mass quantities because in the last days, they'll be doing that as the scripture says. And then just recently, they found the Ark of the Covenant, which was really not lost, and it was in Turkey, and Israel purchased back the Ark of the Covenant and brought it back to Israel. So therefore, everything is in line according to Scripture. The Bible says that this generation shall not pass away before the coming of the Lord, when Jerusalem became its own nation. We are now at the 70-year mark this year. You see, we are in a place, in a position as the kingdom of God that we've never been before. This can no longer be about religion. This can no longer be about church. This is no longer about membership. This is about you and I as sons and daughters of God putting our hands to the plow and bringing in the last day harvest of souls that need Jesus, because without Christ, you cannot see the Lord. You can go to church your whole life and go to hell. You can be a preacher and go to hell. Well, I grew up in this religion. You can still go to hell. Because the Scripture's clear. We're not saved by religion. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. What does that mean? That means we're saved. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This means that unless you and I confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we start walking in relationship with him, we are not going to see heaven. Why? Well, because somebody has to pay for sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So if somebody has to pay for sin, and we choose not to receive Christ who paid for our sin, then we have to pay for our own sin, which means we damned ourselves. God never damned one. We damned ourselves to the lake of fire. Can I hear an amen or oh my? This has nothing to do with religion. And this is why the devil so desperately wants to make sure there's a diabolical disconnect and people stop loving other people. Because what's going to bring a response to you is not you spewing religion on somebody. You know, there's a man that came to Elmira College not too many years ago, and he had this stool kind of thing, a little box. He stood on top of the box and he started preaching. You're going to hell. If you don't receive the Lord, you're damned. And he's just cursing everybody. You know how many people gave their heart to the Lord? None. Why? Because it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. You see, unless you know that somebody loves you, it's all about religion. But when you know the love of God, when you really know the love of Jesus, it changes your entire life. Can I hear an amen or am I? So this is about relationship. And this is why the church has to get back to loving people like we've never loved people before. Now, the verse that we're going to use this morning, I've almost started. The verse we're going to use this morning is the verse that everybody hears at weddings. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But I want you to know that really that wasn't written. Jesus didn't say, hey, can you write this down for a wedding? Hey, I got to do a wedding. Can you write this down? This is about God describing to us how he loves you and I. So turn to someone and say, this is for you. You see, this is how Jesus Christ loves you. This is how Jesus wants to live through us so that we love other people. The true love of God. So let's start reading real quickly. It says this, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries of knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but I do not have love, I have nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. You know, this is the key right here. The Bible says that God is, come on now, God is, they shall know us by our love. So if the church has been diabolically disconnected from loving other people and sharing the gospel with them, remember the person you hate the most is the one you will not share the gospel with. If you know somebody is going to be lost for all of eternity and you do not share with them the gospel of Jesus, you truthfully despise them. Because if you don't tell them, who will? If you saw somebody falling over a cliff, you're going to say, hey, stop that. If they choose to jump, it's their choice. But you still have given them the choice by sharing the love of protecting them from falling off the cliff without knowledge. The Bible goes on to say, love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievement nor inflate their importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, but selfishly seeks its own honor or selfishly seeks its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take up an offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place. Shout a safe place. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat. It never gives up. See, without love, it means nothing. I find that truthfully, those who have loved the most are the ones that are remembered the most. You can make multi-billions of dollars, but when you die, a decade goes by, and maybe even your family don't remember you. But when you are a person of love, your infection, the power of your love goes through generations of people. Why? Because of the power of what's called impartation. What you have, you give to others. And the greatest thing that you can give is love. That's what we all respond to. You see, today you're in this room, and some of you are here because you want to be. Some of you are here because you don't want to be. Some of you are here, you traveled because of love. This group here, all the way from Maryland, they came up here for one reason. They came up here to love Mikey. That's it. They traveled all this distance to love Mikey. That's the only reason they're here. Now, I don't know about you. There's some people that have sympathy. Sympathy is, I'm sorry, but what does sympathy accomplish? Nothing. But there's something called compassion, which creates action, or empathy, which puts sympathy to action. You see, God is not calling us just to live a life, but to live his life through us. And what I love about Christ is he genuinely loved people. He genuinely was there for them. He genuinely was willing to die for them. No greater love a man has than he laid down his life for his friend. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I actually had a lady said she couldn't come back to church anymore. She says, you don't breathe. But it's all about love. If you can speak tons of languages and even speak in other tongues, but you don't have love, it means nothing. You know, it's amazing how many people think they're really spiritual. Hallelujah. They can act spiritual all they want, but if they don't love, it means nothing. And love's not your words, love's your actions. You see, we got to be people of action, not people of words. You know what I love about this house? You do what you say you're going to do. The Bible says my words would be reduced to a howl sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. The Bible says you can be super gifted in the supernatural. That means you can heal the sick. Man, we got a young man in the room this morning. I don't know where you are, dude. Where are you? You had an amazing miracle down at Rodney Howard Brown's. You came out of a chair, correct? Is he in the room? If you are, just raise your hand up real quick. If you're not in the room, well, you should have been in church today. What's that? No, he was supposed to be in second. Young man just went down to Rodney Howard Brown's, and he was in a chair for 2 years. And God raised him out of the chair. If he was in first service, I don't remember where he was. Many of you know my wife. My wife was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. And Jesus healed her, and we got pictures and doctor's proof. No chemotherapy, no nothing, just an absolute disappearance. You see, but you can do all those miracles, and you know what it means? Nothing. There are guys that are out there on the circuit that are powerful in the supernatural, but they don't love people. It's all about them. You know, you watch some of them on TV. Yes, yep, 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 yep. Oh, yes, Lord, I'll, yep. You can have all of that, but if you don't have love, it means nothing. The Bible says that you can be as rich as you want to be and give everything to the poor. But if you don't love, it means nothing. See, everything comes down to the same principle. That is, do you really love people? Most of us really don't. Most of us love ourselves. We live in our own little worlds. We protect our own little families. And we really could give a flying leap about anybody else. And there's a problem with that, because that's not the mind of Christ. And when the church slides into this, you know, this diabolical disconnect is so brilliant, because that means in the last days there will not be a harvest. We will not share the gospel. Blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. We will not share the love of Jesus with other people because we don't want to be rejected. We don't want people to think we're weird. Well, yes, I'm a religious freak. Yes, I am. Thank God. Well, you know, I'm not into religion. Well, me neither, man. I love Jesus. It gets to a place where when people stop loving people, we keep the only message that's going to get them into eternity with Christ to ourselves. And you see, this has never been the mind of Christ. This has never been the heart of God. You see, without love, it means nothing. So what does love actually look like? The Bible says love is patient. Now, I don't know about you. I like patience. Don't ever pray for patience. It's a bad prayer. Seriously. But how many of you are glad Jesus is patient? How many of you are glad he's patient with you? How many of you know we should all be fry daddies? Can I hear an amen or oh my? Let's be honest, man. How many of you sinned at least once in your life? If you didn't raise your hand, you just did. Glory to God, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us have sinned. Every one of us are in a position where we need Christ. We need our sins washed away by the blood of Jesus that was crucified on the cross. We need that. But here we are. So many of us live our own lives. How many of you were 20 years old before you gave your heart to the Lord? Aren't you glad God was patient till you were 20? How about 30? How about 40? How many of you were 50 years old or more before you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Aren't you glad God was patient with you? Oh my goodness, can you imagine if he simply said, skip him. How about Peter, man? God was really patient with Peter. Here's Peter, man. He had a serious issue. He had real attitude problems. Peter was this guy, man. He just told you the way it was. Didn't care what you thought. He would just say, hey. So here Jesus one day is standing there. He goes, hey, who do men say that I am? And Peter stood up and he goes, well, Jesus, thou art the Christ. You know, we did the Christ thing. Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, man hasn't revealed this to you, Peter, but Jesus, God has revealed this to you. Yeah, come on now. I just said it. Two chapters later, here's Peter. And Jesus starts talking about him dying on the cross. And Peter says, hey, you're not going to die on the cross. And Jesus looks at him and said, get behind me, Satan. Then Peter doesn't deny Jesus once publicly, not twice publicly, but three times publicly, he denies Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Now, how many of you know that's patience? Then God uses him to preach the first gospel message on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and 3,000 men gave their heart to the Lord. Aren't you glad Jesus was patient with Peter? Can I hear an amen? Aren't you glad Jesus is patient with you? The Bible says that love is gentle and love is kind. Do you know what's amazing about Americans? We started like a movement to try to get kindness back. Pay it forward. Everybody just pay it forward. We're going to start a movement. Shoot, man, the movement should have been started a long time ago by the church. This is normal. You're supposed to be kind to people. You see an older lady trying to get her cart to her car from Walmart. And I had this guy. He came to church one day and he says to me, he says, I was in the parking lot at Walmart, and I watched this guy drop a $100 bill. And he said, I waited for him to get in his car and drive away before I took it. I said, you're a moron. You're just an idiot. That's not kind. God has called us to be kind. You know one thing I love about the bikers, too? You see a bike on the side of the road, you don't go, hey. Hey, how are you? You're broke down. I'm not. They stop. They're kind. God has called us to be kind people. Jesus was kind. You remember the woman who was caught in adultery? You know, they never brought the man up, but they brought this woman up, and she was actually caught in the act of adultery. It was a true fact. In fact, the Bible says she should have been stoned to death. That means they should have picked up stones, thrown them at her head until she was dead. So the man would bring her to Jesus and said, what should we do with her? Jesus stoops down in the ground and starts to write in the sand. We don't know what he wrote. Assumption says that he wrote the sins of the people standing in the crowd. And one by one, the religious leaders walked away. And here's the woman standing by herself. And Jesus says, woman, where are your accusers? She says, they're not here. And he says, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. Remember he said, he who's without sin, you can cast the first stone. There's only one person that was allowed to cast the stone there. And that was Jesus. He was without sin. Now, I don't know about you, I call that kindness. Because he had the right to do it, but he was kind and he was gentle, and he brought her to a place of repentance rather than knocking her down, kicking her in the head, and throwing a rock in her face. See, God is kind, God is patient, and God is kind. This is his nature, and this is what he loves to give you and I. Can I hear an amen or oh my? The Bible says that love isn't jealous of other people's blessings, which means this. Listen now, if somebody else is blessed, why are you saying, where's mine? Well, you know, they must be special. You need an attitude adjustment. You know what's really funny is, you know, the rumors that go around about me, my wife and I love them. They make me laugh. And this one was, remember we did the egg drop? We used the helicopter. That guy was a great guy, did it for free, blessed the church. Well, the rumor went around the community that that was my helicopter. And I said, thank you, Jesus, I'm getting a helicopter. You know what I mean? That gets you from Aaron to the church really quick. But what's amazing was that was actually started by a church. The latest one is I own a jet. Jesus. No more Allegiant. Glory to God. That I own a jet. And that was started by a local pastor too. What makes it so funny to me is this. Is what is their problem? I don't own a jet and I don't own a helicopter. I don't own a Lamborghini and I don't own a house that's on the lake that's worth $1 million. I live in the town of Aaron. I do have a nice house. I do have a nice house. We're not ashamed of the nice house, right? Amen. And I do dress really good. Pastor Bina Ebo and I, we twinned it today. Come on up here, young man. Jesus. I can button if I suck it in. What do they call these suits?
Seersucker.
We both got seersuckers on.
The socks.
Jesus.
That's
the will of God right there. So at least I look as good as Pastor Obi. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, sir. You want to know true poverty? True poverty is when you can't rejoice when somebody else is blessed. That's poverty. When you can't rejoice when somebody else has something more than you, that's poverty. And God, if he can't trust you with what you got, then you know you ain't getting no more. Can I hear an amen? You see, true love rejoices when somebody else is blessed, not curses them. True love isn't filled with pride. Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest, you must be the servant of all. Jesus said, I came to serve and not to be served. You see, pride was the very first sin. It's called the pride of Lucifer. You see, folks that live in pride think that they're something that they're not. True humility is knowing who you are and walking in it. Another one is love, honors, and respects. Wow, is that lost in the kingdom of God today? And is that lost in the world? You know, we're bussing in all these young children, and I love bussing in the kids. On Wednesday nights, we bus them in down from downtown Elmira. And the one thing we learned was something that startled me. We learned that their mentality is this. This is what they have been trained and they learned. They learned, if you don't respect me, I don't respect you. Well, listen, I grew up in the era where you don't respect daddy, you get your head down. You say something disrespectful to an adult, schwack, in the love of the Lord, of course. Man, I know my right cheek is calloused. Disrespect was never allowed. Dishonor was never allowed. But in today's world, dishonor is normal. True love does not dishonor. True love respects. You see, when we live in a life of respect, and listen, respect isn't that they're like you. Honor and respect is respecting their differences than you. We're not all the same people. We don't all come from the same backgrounds. We're called to honor and respect each other. Love isn't easily offended and keeps no records of wrong. Well, most marriages that fail, it's really kind of funny, sad funny, but they'll actually come in with lists of everything their spouse has done to them. Oh, you know, in 1929, I knew this pastor's wife. Man, she was, I love her. She was a challenge. Why was she a challenge? Because she was at this church for over a decade when I came there as a youth pastor, and she literally had an entire, I'm talking a written list of every offense she got from the church, and she said, when we leave, I'm reading them all to them. How many marriages where your spouse, you keep track of everything they've ever done that's wrong? You did this wrong, you did this wrong. Listen now, I want to tell you something. I thank God that he keeps no records of wrongs. How many of you sin the same sin twice? How many of you sin the same sin three times? How many of you sin the same sin four times? You know, it's really hard saying that. How many of you sin the same sin 10 times? How many of you sin, how many of you sin the same, crap, 5,422 times? Aren't you glad that he didn't turn around and go, listen, 5,222 times, get it? He says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He is a faithful God. He is a God that does not hold records of wrongs. And when we do, we will always be offended. Well, you know, I'm not standing at that church. The pastor offended me. Well, yeah. You stay at this church long enough, I promise to offend you. Well, that's just not nice. Well, no, it's not that it's not nice. Honestly, we just all grew up with different worlds. And simply, you know, we're going to offend each other. If you're a human, you're going to offend somebody. How many of you have ever offended somebody? How many of you have ever been offended? How many offended the offendable on offensively on purpose? That doesn't even make sense. Don't raise your hand. That didn't even make sense. What's wrong with you? Do you realize that most people are offended? They do it on accident. They're not out to hurt you, but there are people that are nasty. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And you know, when the Lord says that you're not easily offendable, that's wise, because offense destroys the working of God in your life, but that you don't keep a record of wrong, the Bible isn't telling you to put your hand back under the mallet. Can I hear an amen? I'm almost done. Two more hours, we're out of here. Love doesn't rejoice when bad things happen, even to evil people. Ooh, amen. Love doesn't rejoice. I already read that one. Love is safe. Husbands, I hope you know this. I'm just going to educate you if you don't. If you give your wife a hug for 30 seconds, endorphins are released in their mind, in the chemical body, and literally, physiologically, it brings a peace to them and a calm to them. You want to keep your house nice? Hug your wife. Aw. They've been married how many years? I don't know. Auntie, how many years you been married? 53 years married. He just hugged his wife and gave her a kiss. Honestly, when you hug, it brings safety. I can prove it. Ready? You hug your wife, and she goes like this. You ever notice that? That says safe. In our relationship with God, true love brings safety to our lives. God wants to make us safe. True love is safe. It means that, listen, when everybody else rejects you, you still have a safe place of love. That's why our first love is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? You see, and my wife uses this example. When you make Jesus your number one priority, when you make him your number one life, your worth is wrapped up in Christ. Your value is in Christ, not in another human being. And so what happens is, when you are safe in the love of God, when you're safe in the presence of the Lord, when I sat here, the air came up the back of my head. Just like, sorry. Squirrel. When you're safe, what happens when your worth is wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ, when somebody else rejects you or hurts you or wounds you, you don't stay offended, you stay safe. Because your worth is wrapped in Christ, you're number one, not in another human being. You see, and that's where we've got to get back to. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your body, soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But you're not wrapped up in Jesus. You can't love anybody else. This is the problem. We have a group of believers. We have a group of Christians. Listen, the world does what the world does. The world sins the way the world sins. I'm never shocked when I hear a non-believer use the F-bomb and GD and Jesus Christ this. And I'm never shocked with that. That's their nature. That's who they are. I'm never shocked when they steal, when they lie, and when they cheat. I'm never shocked when that happens. Why? Sinners do what sinners do. But when you called yourself a son and a daughter of God, then the very nature of God dwells inside of you, and now it's time to let him live through us, and that comes by you living in Christ, living in love with God. True safety is also confrontation. Thank you, Terry. True love is also confrontation. The Bible says if you're not going to be disciplined, you're no more than a bastard. What's a bastard? A bastard is a child without a parent, without a father. God says if he loves you, he's going to correct you. Man, it's amazing. True love corrects. True love confronts. Well, you know, I just want to be loved. I don't want anybody to tell me what's going on in my life. I just want to be loved. Well, that's not love. True love is willing to tell you when you're messing up. True love is willing to confront you when you're doing something stupid. Can I hear an amen or oh my? True love is willing to discipline you. This is why we have a bunch of children that are wild and crazy. You know, we blame the kids. Ain't the kids' problem. Mom and dad don't spank them no more. Well, I don't believe in corporal punishment. Well, you don't even send them to the corner anymore. You know, there comes a place where discipline is part of love. It's a facet of love. We must have discipline. True discipline is safety. There's nothing worse than telling a child that right is wrong and wrong is right. Listen, I've said this before. I've always wanted to do this. I always wanted to teach my children that green was yellow and yellow was purple. Do you know what would happen in school? Is that sick? Don't do that. It's sick. But I always wanted to do that. Do you know how you can mess somebody up? But you know what's really amazing is we do it all the time. Somebody's living wrong. We don't want to offend them, we're not willing to tell them. Honestly, what you're saying is, I don't really love you enough to correct you. True love is safety and brings correction. When you truly love somebody, you're willing to tell them, hey, man, you keep this up, you're going to hell. Well, that's not nice. No, it is nice. It is nice to tell somebody the truth. The truth will make you free. True love tells the truth. Now, listen, I'm almost done. That's, I think, my second one, right? Okay, I'm almost done. Here's a spot with confrontation. Do you remember in 1 Corinthians, there was a man having sex with his father's wife, his stepmother, in 1 Corinthians. Days of Our Lives. And And Paul couldn't get there. He couldn't get to Corinth. So this is what Paul did. He wrote a letter. It's called 1 Corinthians. He wrote a letter and said, hey, you know this sin that's not even talked about in the world happening in the church. Listen, I want to tell you, this guy's not willing to repent, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to deliver him over to Satan so Satan can destroy his body, but his soul will be saved. Was that love or hate? That's absolute love. 2 Corinthians, guess what happens? He repented. You see, love truly is safe when it's truly rounded safety and truly rounded love. It's not just say, oh, you're beautiful. Listen, honey, listen. When you have green on your front tooth or a snot hanging out your nose, listen now, this is real. It's real. You got a snot hanging out your nose. And nobody tells you, that's not love. Can I hear an amen or oh my? It might be a little uncomfortable, but when you say, that's love. Amen? God is calling us to love. God is calling us to be love, to really show love. Love never fails. It shows the truth about our daddy, about our Father God. Some of you have had warped love in your life. You had a father that never told you you were loved. You had a father that denied you. You had a father that walked away from you. You had a mother that did the same. You had maybe no mother or no father, and you never experienced the love that a child was supposed to experience. But I want you to know, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have now a Father who will love you correctly. You have Jesus who will love you correctly, and He will teach you how to truly love so that you can give love away. Well, Pastor, I can't do it. You know, you got to understand, Pastor, that's just not who I am. Well, if you're born again, it is who you are. I don't know who lied to you. If the Spirit of God dwells inside of you, became the temple of the Holy Spirit because you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the fruit of the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, the fruit of personality of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temper, against such there is no law. Then that is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. You now can love the way God loves. It's choice. Not generation, not genetics, it's choice. So the question is, do you really love people? You know, I've been called a lot of things. One thing that nobody can ever say, they can say I wear blue socks. They can say, you know, a bunch of stuff. But the one thing that nobody can say is that I don't love people. I genuinely love people. I really do care. You know, and I've always found, my wife and I have found, there's no greater place to be than a place of vulnerability, of loving people. There's no greater reward than watching somebody respond to love. And I want to challenge you. Love is dangerous. It is dangerous. Love will cost you. But the benefits of love, they far outweigh any other option. Today as the church, the issue is this. If we don't come back to love, we don't come back to what God's plan is for us, then we aren't going to care enough to share the gospel with anybody. We're not going to care enough to tell somebody that is going to hell, listen, this is how you get out of it. We don't love people enough to where we're so concerned about their life eternally that, listen, we're willing to step out on a limb and even have them call us names or reject us. Listen, we've got to love people more than we love things and we love ourselves. It's time. Next week I'm preaching on hell. And you know, we don't talk about it in church anymore. It's not a fake place, it's a real place. And bad news for you, hell is the nice place. That's just the holding tank. The lake of fire is the final destination of those who do not know Christ. I'm believing that you are going to be so overwhelmed with the baptism of love from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not going to come from above. It's going to come from within. For God dwells inside of you who know him as their Savior. And God is going to well up inside of you a fresh love for people. You're not going to see their eyes and their hair and their height. You're going to see their eternity. And do I really care? And when the church gets back to who we're supposed to be, there'll never be enough chairs. There'll never be enough chairs. This is not about building a church. It's about showing love. God will build his church, for they will know us by our love. Do you love people? I'll give you a litmus test and I'll stop. If you've not shared the gospel with one soul this year, then you don't love. You're missing it. If you pass by people all the time and you have never shared the gospel with them this whole year, we're halfway through. Is it June what? Third? Halfway through. If you haven't shared the gospel with anybody, how many of you know at least one person not going to heaven? Well, don't be judgmental. If they don't know Christ, they're not going to heaven. You don't get to heaven by doing good works or being a nice person. You get to heaven through receiving Jesus as your Savior. That's not my words. That's the Bible. If you don't like it, argue with God. If we don't share the gospel, they have no hope. We are the only plan God has. Do you love people? Bow your heads with me this morning. What does love look like? It's pretty powerful, pretty amazing. And it's for every one of us. Today, I want to talk to those who don't know Christ as their Savior. I want to say this real clear. I'm not asking anybody to join a church. We don't have membership here on purpose. I'm not asking you to join a religion. Not into religion. I want you to know Jesus as your Savior. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you know there's a sin between you and God. Then today, I want you to realize that you can confess the Lord Jesus Christ, and today he'll show love to you by washing your sins away and calling you a child of heaven. The Bible says that you have the right to be called a child of God. Literally a child of God. So today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I don't believe I need to coax or coerce or be sly. I'm just going to say it straight up. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you want him into your life, I want you to slide your hand up in the air right now. I'm not going to wait long. 5. Come on, get your hands up. 4, 3, 2. Listen, even faster today. I don't see that. Is someone's hand up? Very good. Thank you, baby girl. Is there anybody else? This is it, last call. Well, Pastor, what do you mean last call? You don't know it's your last call. You don't know. Don't play with the time that you're not sure you have. You know, people go to the casinos all the time to gamble. They throw away money. But man, you don't have enough to lay down when it talks your life. Don't gamble your life. One last call. Anybody want to receive Jesus? Slide your hand up. And good. Let's all stand to our feet. Feet. How do you pluralize feet? I know. It's not right. It's feet. See. Can I tell you, honestly, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to speak into your life. I would really challenge you to come 3 times in a row. First time is like, oh my God, what did I get myself into? Second time, it's a little bit more, especially if this is not where you came from, this style of ministry. But the third time, you're going to get hooked. You're going to have a hard time going back to the quiet church. Because I want you to know all we're trying to do is get you ready for heaven. Heaven's not going to be a quiet place. When you see Jesus the very first time face to face, you're not going to go, hey. You're going to shout. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. If you need prayer for anything, sickness, discouragement, No matter what problem you're facing in your life, these people have been trained and know God, and they'll pray for you. They're people of faith. See God move in your life. If I could have, honey, I'm going to ask you to be brave. Grab Miss Kayla right beside you and meet me right up front, right here and right now. Come on, give her a hand clap. She made a choice to serve Jesus. I'm proud of you, baby girl. You know what the Bible says? If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. But if you proclaim me before men, I'll proclaim you before the Father. Very proud of you. Amen. This is Mindy, and she's going to lead you right up. You know, I know that, baby. Go on over and pray. Amen. We'll give you a Bible. Father, I just say thank you so much for this congregation. Father, saturate us with love, God, that cannot be mustered up by mankind. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that we will know you in such a way that we'll be just literally oozing love out of us wherever we go. Lord, when we see somebody that's not saved, God, when we see somebody that does not know you as their Savior, I pray for a Holy Ghost boldness to come upon us that we'll be willing to share because we love them enough to tell them the truth. And Lord, I pray that each one of us, Lord, will know you in a greater way that we may show your genuine love to people and not religion, but Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I love you. Thank you so much for the opportunity and the privilege of pastoring you. We have a great day. Serve God with all of your heart. Bring at least one soul next week who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Your blood still it flows from your throat.